Our last Mishnah ended by talking about the leather strap with which the lashes are performed. Our next Mishnah picks up with that same topic. Yada tefach v'rochba tefach. Its handle is a tefach, presumably a tefach long, and its width is a tefach. A tefach is 1/6 of an amah. An amah is basically half a yard. These are not numbers I would use for practical halachic questions, but it's a rough approximation. And so a tefach is basically 3 inches. So it's roughly 3 inches long on the handle and 3 inches wide. Veroshat magas al pi kreso. And its head, the end of it, reaches up until the belly. The idea here seems to be that it should come up to it should be tall enough that it stands up to the belly of the person being lashed. If that's the right, then it would have to be variable because different people are different heights. So traditionally, this is understood to imply that the whip is designed in a way where you can sort of extend it and retract it to make it different lengths. Umake oso shlish milfanav ushte yados melacharav. And the person doing the lashing lashes them 1/3 in front of them, that is to say on their chest, and 2/3 from behind. We actually saw earlier in our chapter in Mishnah 3:11 that the number of lashes has to be a multiple of 3. And now we understand why. Because 1/3 of the lashes are lashes on the person's chest, and 2/3 from behind is traditionally understood to mean 1/3 on each shoulder. So you have 1/3 on the left shoulder, 1/3 on the right shoulder, and 1/3 on the chest. We also saw in Mishnah 3:10 that Rabbi Yehuda was stringent. We'll see later in the chapter that he's going to continue to be stringent. Rabbi Yehuda was stringent and said, no, actually, the Torah says 40. We give 40 lashes. And the Mishnah back there asked, well, if so, then where do you do that 40th lash? And it was between the shoulders. We couldn't fully understand that back then because we hadn't seen this yet, but now we do. So we have 3 sets of lashes, essentially, that add up to 39, 1/3 on the left shoulder, 1/3 on the right shoulder, 1/3 on the chest. And if you're following Rabbi Yehuda, where you have that 40th lash, that's going to go between the shoulders on the back. Our mission now continues. Ve'eno makeoso lo omed velo yoshev, ele mute. And one should not lash the person, not while they are standing and not while they are sitting, meaning the person being lashed. Rather, they should be angled. They should be hunched over. Shenamar v'pilo ha-shofet. As the verse says, the judge will cause them to bend over, essentially. It's a little bit of an unclear phrase, but the way the Mishnah is understanding it, it seems to imply some kind of half bent over, but not fully sitting. V'amake makev yado achas b'chol kocho. And the one doing the lashing, they lash with their one hand with all their strength. And this seems to be a way to get some kind of intermediate force, right? You're not using both hands, which would be more powerful, but you're just using one hand, but you're using all your force on that one hand. Interestingly, the Gemara here says that the Chazanek Knesset, the one doing the lashes, should be great in knowledge and lacking in strength. We don't want to appoint people to this position who are going to be overly strong, because then lashes will be too strong. And interestingly as well, there in the Gemara, the same Rabbi Yehuda, who says that we give 40 lashes and not 39, also says that, you know what, you could even appoint a chazan who is lacking in knowledge and great in strength. So Rabbi Yehuda, again, seems to be a stringent voice. There it's in the Gemara, not in the Mishnah, but on this point, that when you're, since you're doing with all of your strength, you could even have a chazan kinesis, a communal official, who is doing this lashing with great strength.